hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master. Now, I told you last week that we were going to, delve into the whole Florida spiny lobster season issue. We've already talked about a little bit in Hour 1, but not nearly enough because, you know, mini season has passed. We're literally a week away from the opening of the official regular season for recreational divers for Florida spiny lobster. And my man in the know, especially when it comes down in the Keys, is Captain Marlon Scott. He is on Scuba Radio right now from Key West. How you doing, Scott?
Great. Doing great, Greg. Thanks for having me on Scuba Radio.
Yes, now you got it. No problem. Now, are you gorged on lobster meat already?
I am the first one in the Florida Keys that ate lobster during minting season. I proved it. I was the first one to eat those wonderful lobster tails, garlic, and butter. So I'm gorged, but I'm ready for more.
Now, you say that as kind of like a half joke, but there's actually some truth to what you're saying. Please explain.
Well, you know, we were there at Captain Hook's first thing in the morning on that Wednesday, sportsman season Wednesday, and they had already been out bully netting before the sun came up. And sure enough, as I was doing my morning radio show right there on the docks, here comes a platter full of brand spanking new lobster from earlier that morning. So, yeah, I think I was the first one.
Now, bully netting, that is a technique to catch the lobster that I have not used yet. And as the lobster slayer, I feel that maybe I'm missing the boat here. Explain exactly how bully netting for Florida spiny lobster works.
Well, Greg, you last year had a really good time with the walking lobsters. Okay,
yes.
That was something, a phenomenon that happens, and they walk at night. So what the bully netters do is they go out and they get on that line of lobsters. They have a net. Looks like a big, long, a pool net, I guess. And they bend the end, and they just basically drop that net right on top of the lobster. The lobster, who's walking out right in on a flat or on the grass, he kicks his tail back, goes right into the net. You spin it, and you throw him in the boat. They do it at night, and they do it with a spotlight.
Yeah, so they spotlight. I mean, we're talking in, like, obviously 5-6 feet of water. You guys are on these little flats boats just cruising the inland waterways of the Florida Keys. And you use the spotlight because the water's so clear because you can just see them walking along the bottom, right?
Oh, yeah. It looks like a long chain of lobster and antennas. That's what it looks like. And they walk in a line, and that's it. You just reach out, and you land that net right on top of them, and there's your lobster. Don't have to get wet.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's cheating. You're not even diving or snorkeling. That's why I haven't done it, because I don't know. I want to have the whole dive experience with it, too. You hear what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't be the lobster slayer and the bully netter, so you're going to have to be one or the other, Greg.
Yes. Well, but I'll tell you what. I have no problem eating lobster that were caught with a bully net, so... Next time they bring you a big platter of lobster, you need to make sure you call me first. Okay.
Yeah. Everybody has their limits, and then when you offer lobster, the limits change. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, I have no doubt about that. Now, Florida spiny lobster season getting ready to open. Mini season, a 2-day sports season for recreational divers to get, little jump on the commercial lobster, trappers who set their traps a few days later. It is a good gauge to see how the season's going to shape up. So what are the reports you've heard down in the Florida Keys as far as the amount of lobster that were caught during mini season there, Scott?
Well, you know, we worked our way all the way from Key Largo out to the Mark cases, and we took reports. It seems like Key Largo was a little weak. Isla Mirada was fair. Marathon was really pretty good. The lower keys, the content keys, Johnson Key Channel, those areas, Mud Keys, Barracuda, Snipes, the best. Loaded up. Limits within an hour. Didn't matter if you had 6 people on your boat, 12 people on your boat. As fast as you could get in the water, you were loading up on lobsters. Now, Key West was good. The Marquesas was not good. So that's kind of, it seemed like it was more in the middle keys that was the best area.
Interesting. And as far as the size of the lobster, what are you seeing? Because, you know, traditionally, I have kind of seen a tendency that when you get down to the Keys, they're not quite as big necessarily as what you might get up towards Jupiter or on the east coast of Florida, where, you know, you have to go deeper. Maybe it's tougher to get the lobster, so they mature more. I don't know. Is there, do you have any anecdotal evidence either way from your perspective?
Well, yeah, we do have the estuary. Okay, the estuary, we have barely legals mostly. But we had some up to 4 or 5 pounds this year. Some of the reports, everybody was like eye-popping happy that they didn't have to measure as many because they were all, when they fit in your hand just perfect, you know when they're big enough.
Sure.
There was a lot of that. So there was some bigger lobster this year. And the way it looks, Greg, there may be a lot more lobster because the price, the wholesale price for lobster for the commercial guys has really dropped. In some cases, it's not even worth them taking their lobster traps out. They can't even pay for the fuel this year with $2.75 per pound wholesale. Not good.
Wow. I didn't know about that. So the economic downturn actually may pay off big time for Florida lobster divers.
That's right. That's right. You may get into a situation this year where you're going to find all-you-can-eat lobster bakes all over the state of Florida.
Oh, my gosh. Now, is tubs of butter, is that going up or down in prices right now?
Well, as soon as the lobster come out and you get those all-you-can-eat lobster bakes, the price of butter is sure to go through the roof.
Of course. So, you know, stock up now while the price is good, I guess, is what we're saying.
That's right.
But let's talk about another issue related to lobster season that's getting ready to open up here in Florida. Cicadas, and I'm not talking about these bugs that make these annoying noises in these trees and stuff that look kind of funky. What is that? What it is? Cicadas that you're having an issue with down there in the Keys, or what?
No, that's when you're in feast. Oh, that's when you're in famine. Is cicadas? No. What we have a problem with is casitas.
Casitas. Okay.
Casitas.
I say casitas. I don't know. What is something like
that? Yeah, casitas. You know. What are you gonna say?
Right. So, what is a casita?
It is an artificial lobster habitat placed for that reason. It's illegal, and in fact, there's a few guys, many more to come, that have been actually arrested. Operation Freezer Burn has netted over 1,700, I believe it was 1,700 pounds of lobster being harvested from these casitas. And it could be a PVC pipe. It could be a cinder block, a car hood. It could be a sewing machine, an outboard motor cover. That's a casita. If you place an artificial anything for the lobster to be able to gather the lobster easier, it's a major, major infraction.
Yeah, no making your little portable lobster hotel.
No lobster hotels, no.
Yeah. So that's what a cicada is.
A casita.
Right. And it's illegal, so they're cracking down. The Florida Fish and Wildlife, I guess, is keeping an eye out for this kind of thing, or are they asking?
Oh, yeah, they're doing sting operations. Now, here's the thing, Greg. We're worried about this because we don't really understand what a casita is. Anything that's artificial or man-made, you cannot take lobster. So we're asking, what about a boat ramp? What about a dock piling? What about cinder blocks that you've laid down against your seawall? Those things have come into play now. So we're worried that the recreational divers that come down here for lobsters, they may be on something, maybe it's a boat that is sunk in one of the harbors. That may be considered an illegal artificial habitat.
Huh. Interesting. So there's some arbitrary wording that has some people concerned about, you know, whether or not what they're doing is legit or not, or they could get into trouble for it.
Yeah, and the wording and the arbitrary seems to be the flow when it comes to our laws, because it's a big headache is what it is for the FWC officers. I mean, they don't know in the case where the guys got arrested just lately, they had a boat that was offshore of Sugarloaf Key. They were diving on that sunken vessel, and they were arrested for it.
Yeah, but that wasn't that because they had went way, way over their limit? Or are they saying it was based on the fact that they had made this intentional area to attract lobster?
That's exactly it. They were diving, and they were doing things along with limit, with their limits. They were taking lobster before the season started, saving it, freezing it, selling it the opening day. But this also was another charge: putting the boat, sinking the boat, and using it as a lobster habitat.
Huh. Interesting. Well, I mean, I guess that comes into, a bunch of legal issues there if you're trying to defend yourself on something like that. The bottom line is don't sink something intentionally with the idea that you're going to attract lobster with it, right?
That's right. And if you're going around and you're diving on something that was already there, you may be cited for diving on an artificial habitat. You can't dive anything that's not recorded by the state, like a wreck like the Vandenberg. No problem. The Dwayne or the Bib or the Thunderbolt, no problem. But if there's anything else out there and you're collecting lobster on it, you may be considered somebody that has put a casita underwater.
Huh. Well, or you have to prove that you didn't do it, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, there you go. Now imagine being up in front of the judge in Monroe County and trying to have her, because it is her, have her believe you. That's the big part. You've got the burden of proof. Let's put it that way.
Look at me. I look honest, don't I? Come on.
Yeah, that'd work for you, Greg.
No, it wouldn't, actually. So I better get a lawyer. Yeah, well, that's interesting. I don't know. We'll have to dig in deeper into that, but it's definitely something to be aware of. And, I mean, look, we don't encourage anybody breaking any laws, rules, or anything when it comes to lobster diving. And if you see somebody doing this and breaking the rules, whether they're taking too many lobsters past the legal limit, or they're taking shorts, or they're creating habitats so they know that it'll track, you need to, first of all, probably encourage them not to. And if they won't listen to you, just understand. They're making everybody look bad, and
they are.
And that will eventually come back to bite us all in the ass. So we need to police ourselves in this regard somewhat too, and use peer pressure accordingly. I'd say in that regard. But interesting update, regardless. But good news to hear that the lobster catch has been pretty good for many season. Actually, I've heard similar things up the east coast of Florida as well, and we'll keep. Keep an eye out. Now, you have scoped out some areas where the lobsters are congregating. So when I come down there in, about 2 weeks, we're going to clean up ourselves, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are going to have a blast, Greg. Looking forward to that yearly event that you and I partake in together, Lobster Madness. We're going to be lobster heads.
Well, the Lobster Slayer is heading to the Keys.
That's right.
Yes. Call the authorities. No, wait, don't call the authorities. They'll just want to eat my lobster. I'll tell you what, just stock up on tubs of butter to make sure that the Lobster Slayer, when he comes to the Keys, is properly equipped for his lobster feast.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
You came all the way down here for this.
And scuba diving.
Scuba diving? Who's going scuba diving?
We're going scuba diving. We'll be back in time.
What do you have to go scuba diving for?
For fun.
For fun?
And I'm a scuba-holic. I spend all my time beneath the waves. No more gin and tonic. Scuba diving is all that I crave. I don't need a 12-step program. Meetings I never attend. All I need is blue water. I catch a buzz each time I dive in.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master. Next week, don't forget, we will be broadcasting to you from the Explorer Ventures liveaboard vessel, the Caribbean Explorer 2. right there on the water from the Bahamas. I know you'll say, wish I was there, but at least you can listen in and share the joy of all the cool things we may see. Earlier in the show, you know, we told you there's been a manta sighting in the area we're going to be diving. Hopefully you'll hear us talk about that, maybe even a whale shark or two. But mantas in particular, you know, mark those off the list and never get bored of them. But we did that in Kona, Hawaii a few weeks ago. I have Mermaid Angela on the line. How you doing, Angela?
Good, Greg. How you doing?
You're saying, why have Angela? Well, she was on that trip in Hawaii, and she had a very special encounter with one of their mantas on their manta night dive. Isn't that right, Angela?
That's very true. We got a little close connection, me and the manta. It was great.
It was a beautiful moment in time, and we're still working on that video, too, by the way, but we plan to get that posted real soon. But as Angela knows, we just got a email from Glenn there at Kona Honu Divers, who was nice enough to host us when we were in Kona, Hawaii. And Angela, I don't know, what did you hear? I'll let you share the news.
Well, now the mantas in Hawaii, the area where we were diving, are now protected. So that's awesome for everyone, and now everyone can go and see, and hopefully there'll be more and more mantas on all the night dives that they have.
Absolutely. You know, but when we got there and we went on this night dive and had 17 manta rays swimming around us, it was a magical experience. I mean, nothing we had never, it's just something every diver needs to do. It was quite spectacular. And then we're talking to Glenn about this stuff, and he says, well, you know, there's no protection for the mantas here in Florida, in Hawaii whatsoever. They can be fished out. People can catch them for whatever reason and sell their fins to Asia or whatever. We're like, what? You can
right.
do it. You know, it's kind of shocking to think they would have no protection, right, Angela?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why we're so happy that this all passed, and I'm stoked about it. So next time, there will be mantas everywhere.
Yes. Well, hopefully more. I mean, I think it was like 150 mantas they've monitored or something over there. It's some ridiculous number that kind of cruise in and out during different times of the year. But truly a magical experience, and, of course, that's one of the first steps they can take to make sure that experience is around for many more years to come so everybody can share the joy. Now, I don't know if this would happen to you if you went to Kona, Hawaii and did the whole manta thing, but Angela, you know, she had a up-close and personal experience with one of the mantas, even beyond what you would typically get from just doing the dive. It actually came in while she was wearing her mermaid outfit, and, well, what did it... I'll let you pick up the story from there, Angela.
Right. I got a little extra on our trip. Note to self, don't wear your mermaid tail on the surface of the water if you don't want to be manta handled, as we called it. We were just swimming along trying to take some footage, and all of a sudden this manta just came right up and gave me a lovely manta hug. And I enjoyed it. It was a little scary at the time, but we got a definite close encounter with the manta. So I guess I'm pretty lucky because nobody else got that experience like I did.
Exactly. She was freaking out at the time, going, Greg, what are you doing? I said, I'm shooting the video. What do you want me to do? She's like, well, I'm dying over here.
Yeah,
kind of attitude.
I just want to let everyone know that Greg was filming the entire time while I was being attacked by a massive, massive animal, and Greg was just swimming along, catching it all on video, which is good now, but at the time, nobody was there to save me. So.
Yeah, well, but the thing was, I knew what was going on. I saw that the manta wasn't attacking. It was just showing its affection.
Greg, I did.
I saw that. I could tell with my years of diving experience. I could tell this animal had no, it was just making its move. Figured that the Scuba Radio mermaids like it rough, so why not?
I guess he knows. I don't know how he found that out. But.
Yeah, well, I don't either. But I'm guessing that's the case. And I could see how an animal of that size and stature and majesty would have that impression.
Right.
Yeah.
He just knew, come right in, swoop right in on me.
Yeah, why not? They look like they're fun. They look like fun mermaids, fun girls. I'm thinking of every word except easy, because you know, she's on the phone. She ain't kind of like she can smack me or anything.
Oh, you'll get it next time, babe.
Yeah, okay. I didn't say it. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
We started producing Scuba Radio in 1997, the same year that Designated Diver Sportswear made its debut at the DEMA show in Anaheim, California. Designated Diver Sportswear has pretty much been our supplier for Scuba Radio tees ever since. It was their commitment to quality and stylish diver designs that caught our attention then and continues to this day. Designated Diver's unique combination of silkscreen printing and embroidery have become the gold standard for those who want to express their divers and are proud of it. So popular, in fact, that many divers around the world now collect them. Of course, over the years, Designated Diver has evolved into more than just diver tees. They were recently acquired by Designated Sports Incorporated, featuring additional lines like Yak Heads for kayaking and paddle enthusiasts, and It's What I Do, the lifestyle line of fun tees that let you express your passion for the sport or activity that you do and enjoy. Go to designatedsports.com to see all the latest styles and put them to work for you and your organization today. No projects too big or too small. That's designatedsports.com. Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg, the Dive Master. On the line with me, Simon from Dominica. Nature Island Divers is his dive operation. Of course, he works with Dominica Water Sports Association that just put on Dive Fest. Simon, how you doing, buddy?
Excellent, Greg. Very, very well.
Now, Dive Fest, it's been a few weeks now since we were there to invade the island. Have you guys recovered or what?
Just about recovering now, sort of thinking about doing some of the wrap-up things we have to do at the end of Dive Fest. So it took a couple of weeks there of just downtime, you know how it was.
Yeah, you know, we've been, going over all the pictures we received. Of course, I know there's some stuff up on the Water Sports Association website and some of the media that you guys had there. The mermaids, the Scuba Radio mermaids, literally were treated like rock stars in Dominica. Are people still talking, hopefully in a favorable light, or what?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. People, you know, when I go into Roseau, the capital here, when I go in there the weeks after Dive Fest, people are always stopping and telling me, they enjoyed this, they didn't enjoy that, or they did enjoy this. And this year has just been fantastic. I go and everyone's like, wow, the mermaids were great. You know, we enjoyed the mermaids. So very, very positive vibes. Everybody had a good time. And it really amazed me. I kind of thought this would be a really popular thing with the kids and just maybe limited a little bit to the kids. But my God, everybody enjoyed the mermaids. They were really popular down here.
Now, did anybody ask about me?
Who?
Exactly. They could care less about me, huh? They just wanted to see the mermaids. It was so funny. I loved it. But you know, mermaids are like
Greg,
the...
I can join you there. No one's talked about me either, you know?
Yeah, okay, all right. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. No, you know, I understand. I'm finding more and more like mermaids are like the international language. So they're like music to the underwater world or people who love diving and that type of thing. You think?
Yeah, Greg, you're right. Mermaids are a universal language, and down here in Dominica, everybody enjoyed them. We really loved them, and we look forward to having them back next year.
You got it. Meantime, for more information on Dive Fest for next year or just traveling to Dominica, what's the website, Simon?
www.divefestdominica.com.
Divefestdominica.com. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I'm through with standing on land and seas I never get in. It's like I got on my mask, but I'm missing a fin. I'll get a 3-mil wetsuit, and if it gets cold, I'll just pee.
Tell me what you want.
I want a brand new rig and viz as clear as gin, and a huge bathtub I can go diving in. Or I'll get a dive boat big enough for 10 plus me.
Tell me what you need.
I'll need a a dive card with no depth limit, and a big black sub with a bedroom in it. Gonna feel the effects of narcosis just past a depth of about 100 feet.
Been there, done that.
I wanna dive all day and hang at tiki bars, working on getting my advancy card. Some say I'm crazy, but that's okay for divers like me.
So how you gonna do it?
I'll get a dive knife, have my buddy do the same. I'd study the sea and know every fish by name. Cause we all wanna be just good divers, even if people think we're shark fishing lures. The girls look good and go with the flow, as we all stay wet with scuba radio. And we'll all hang out at tiki bars, or plan a night dive out under the stars. Everything looks bigger when you look down there, where the guys need help and the girls don't care. Well, hey, hey, I wanna be a diver. Hey, hey, I wanna be a diver.
So I'm digging through Scuba Radio's viewer mail, and Corey has emailed us to ask our thoughts on Shark Week. Now, you know, we're coming off the heels of this week-long event, which is one of the highest-rated weeks for Discovery Channel every year. And a few weeks ago, I mentioned on the air how I was really conflicted on this year's plethora of new specials about the sharks and the shark attacks, and how it's getting more and more bloody. And I gotta say, from what I've seen, I don't like it. Jeff Terode from South Florida Diving Headquarters is on the line with me to discuss this issue on Scuba Radio right now. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Okay.
You're on the Discovery bandwagon, huh?
You know, well, it was so much more, you know, more informative and just plain cooler when I was on Shark Week a few years ago, when they actually quoted me. That was when it was good. And then ever since.
Did they censor that segment? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they did after they found out better. But, yeah, you know, the last 5 years, I would say, have just gotten worse and worse and worse. And this year, the promos, the PR that I've seen Discovery put out there for this week's specials, I don't know. I kind of boycotted it this week. And what's your thoughts, Jeff?
Well, Greg, and you know this, and I'm sure many of your viewers know this, sharks sell. That's the bottom line. So that's what Discovery is interested in doing, is getting their ratings up. It's sweeps week, you know, they're coming up here in the month of August, and they're just trying to get their ratings up. The sensationalism gets you to watch, and obviously that's how they sell, you know, advertising and so forth and so on. Now, that being said, it doesn't make it any more responsible. But everybody has to understand what that's all about, I think, and put it in context. Now, some of the stuff that I've seen on Discovery Channel, I wasn't very happy with either. So, now I don't know if they're changing, if they're struggling to compete with other, you know, networks like Animal Planet and other things like that, and that's what they're trying to do. But I'm not sure why they've kind of gotten. You know, I really can't say the term on the radio, but you know what I mean. They're the HWLRE of Shark Week now.
Yes. Well, I hear you. You know, and I don't know. I think the hype is starting to overshadow any kind of conservation message. But more after the break. Stay close.
Do you want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Being a diver has its rewards, like getting discounts on the latest oceanic gear just for sharing the underwater world with your friends and family. In fact, every time you refer a friend who signs up for a scuba class at an authorized oceanic dealer, each of you will be rewarded with $50 off oceanic gear. There's no limit to the savings you can enjoy. The more you refer, the more you save. Find the oceanic dealer near you and get all the details at oceanicworldwide.com. Reward yourself, reward your friends with oceanic dive gear at oceanicworldwide.com.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water, thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. peak performance buoyancy and the navigation specialty course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We're talking about Shark Week. And, that's what Discovery Channel wants us to do, of course, with all the hype and all the Jaws-type promos and things that they put out here last week for this week-long ratings extravaganza. Jeff Giraude is on the line with me, who, he has his plenty of experience with working with sharks and diving there down in Pompano Beach. And Jeff, before the break, you're saying that, yeah, they're just kind of, what's the proper word? How did you phrase it?
Well, they're becoming the whores of Shark Week.
Yeah, they're whoring themselves out a little bit too much here for the publicity, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And part of that comes from having to compete and for ratings and everything else. But, Discovery's always been very good about, has been good in the past for sharks, because they've done a lot of conservation stuff. So, I hate to knock them, but, if it's warranted, if the shoe fits, what I'm saying, wear it.
Yeah. Well, the marketing people there at Shark Week are totally different from the people that are producing the content. Because they hire a lot of folks that are very conscious of the environment and the environmental message that they want to get out to save sharks. I mean, if you watch Shark Week, you will find that in some of the specials. But the problem is, and this is where it kind of has crossed the line for me over the last few years, and Jeff, I'm interested in your thoughts, is that the promos and the PR for Shark Week have gotten so much more intense, bloody, Jaws-like, that the conservation message is getting overshadowed. I mean, all this media coverage they get for Shark Week, not all those people that see this stuff go and actually watch the show and maybe will get hit with some kind of conservation or save the shark type message. I think there's a big chunk of people that are seeing all this hype and not seeing any of the positive sides of Shark Week now because of this ramp up of the blood and guts kind of thing. What do you think?
Almost like a Peter Benchley type thing here. Here we go again, Jaws 1 through 18. Yeah, I agree with you, Greg. I think they've gone too far, and if you don't actually watch the show, you don't get the message.
Yeah.
So you're getting the wrong message by, the hype.
Yeah, and I guess I'm kind of calling them out a little bit because I see a little lack of them taking responsibility for this stuff, and even, you brought up Peter Benchley, in his later years of life, he was very regretful of how Jaws came out and ended up, causing people to run out and kill all these sharks and ended up being a champion for great white sharks and shark conservation as a whole. I don't see that from the Discovery Channel people. I'm seeing it going exactly the other way. They're seeing dollar signs because they know sharks sell, I guess. You think?
Yeah, that's your network executives, And like I told you earlier today that when we were talking that they actually came down. I did an interview with them, and the whole
crust of one of the stories last night was the Summer of the Shark, and it was actually it was really what they were, their subliminal message was, it was the summer of the media, which was, you and I both know that was the case back during the summer, you know, the what they call the Summer of the Shark.
Yeah, exactly. Summer of the Shark, shark attacks really weren't up that much at all that year, but they got tons of media exposure, and you would have thought the sky was falling.
The only thing was up was the media attention. It wasn't the shark attacks.
Exactly, exactly. Now,
well, it was a slow time for the media. You know,
it was. They didn't have anything else to sink their teeth into. No pun intended. Actually, that was intended. But
let's face it. All you have to do is say shark, and you'll get everyone's attention.
Yes. Well, this is true, and I do understand
it's like yelling fire in a crowded room. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. But you know, I do understand this. But you know, the thing I keep going back to is that I think there's a line has started. Has been crossed the last few years with Shark Week that is becoming just borderline irresponsible if you want to indeed save these animals, because they're putting out so much hype and blood and guts. And then, you know, I start hearing about these reports, and Jeff, maybe you can fill me in, where Discovery Channel crews that are going out to film segments for Shark Week are going to very popular shark dives to try to film, you know, this aggressive shark scenario or reenactment. And like they're taking some of our favorite shark diving sites and, you know, almost bastardizing the whole thing. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I know a friend of mine and your friend, too, Gary Atkins, who used to be over in Walker's Key, that had great shark dive over in Walker's Key. And he's now down in Fiji working with the local king and you know, the locals on one of the islands down there, and they have a shark dive, and my understanding was that Discovery came down and wanted to do some filming, and I think what they call Shark Pass, and the king turned them down and wouldn't grant them permission to come in and do it, and because it brings in a lot of dollars for the local economy and food and medicine and other things, you know, from the revenue generated by it, so they didn't want it bastardized or destroyed. So he turned it down, and Gary told me that Discovery came in anyway, hired an outside boat, came in unbeknownst, shot it, and used the you know, the blood and guts, the gore type thing, in order to sensationalize it.
Yeah, well, I've even heard it taken a step further, that they've went to sites where shark dives, you know, go on, and they totally do a different thing, where they'll, you know, do one of those deals where they throw a seal carcass in the water or a body, you know, a wetsuit filled up with stuff and try to get the sharks to bite people.
Yeah.
You know, or bite the mannequins or whatever. And that is not good. That is not the way you should be operating, especially in a site where divers go, I would think. I don't know. It just seems a little crazy to me.
It seems to me that, like we talked about before, it's about the sensationalism of it, and it grabs you. You know, they've done a lot of the stuff in previous years on shark conservation, and I guess that doesn't create ratings.
Yeah, so it's not selling enough ads, evidently, so they got to kick it up
exactly
a notch.
It's like anything else.
Yeah.
you know that.
Well.
But, you know, I hate the fact that what they're doing is tainting their reputation, because Discovery has done a lot of good things.
They have.
Over the years, and they do have a lot of good people working for them.
Yeah, and, well, you know, their marketing department, despite the fact I don't like what they're doing, hey, it's working, I'm talking about them, so go figure, right?
Yeah, they've done their job.
Yeah.
They've got us talking about
that's
them, so.
Right.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why for the second year in a row, we have made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the Liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Mon nom est Julie et je suis une plongeuse de Saint-Barth.
Ok, for my American fan, my name is Julie and I'm a diver from Saint-Barth.
J'aime énormément la scuba radio.
I love scuba radio.
Et spécialement, what's your name again?
Greg.
And especially Greg, the, how we say, dive master.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?
Yes, indeed. Matter of fact, that little interview we recorded with Julie, she was on our SEVA itinerary, on our Explorer Ventures Live Aboard, the Caribbean Explorer 2. Matter of fact, that is the boat we will be broadcasting to you from next week right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving as we cover yet another scuba radio scuba cruise. The boat's moved up to the Bahamas to cruise the Exuma chain. Do not miss it. We'll give you a little sneak peek to live aboard diving. And I don't know if we'll run into any Julies on this itinerary because we're not going to be doing much as far as land-based tours where we'll see people. I'm sure we'll meet some folks, nice folks on board that we can introduce you to and make some new dive buddies and friends and that kind of thing. It'll be all good. So don't miss it next week. Big show from the Seven Seas, or, well, from the Bahamas and the CX2 live aboard from our friends at Explorer Ventures, the official live aboard company of Scuba Radio. Now, if you're one of our Twitter followers, you already know about the new Scuba Radio dive towels. We've just made them available at scubaradio.com on the merchandise page for purchase, $14.99. Place an order over $15, you get free shipping. These are really, really nice towels. Thanks to our friends at Uzi. They got a nice big dive flag design, an embroidered Scuba Radio logo, and a cool little Uzi logo on there as well. Go to scubaradio.com, click on the merchandise page, buy your Scuba Radio dive towels now. And let me give you a reason to go there, regardless whether you're interested in purchasing a towel or not. And that is because you can see Kelly the Brazilian swimsuit model basically acting as a Scuba Radio dive towel model. Now, she is holding up the towel and appears to be flashing residents of the Turks and Caicos there where this shoot took place. The bottom line is a lot of people have asked who is the beautiful model with the Scuba Radio dive towel. Now you know it's Kelly, the Brazilian swimsuit model, and she may have forgotten her swimsuit for this particular shoot. So, but nobody's complaining. At least nobody has yet. Go to the merchandise page, pick up a towel while you're at it, and feel free to make your own observations. All right, that'll do it for this week of the big show. Don't forget, next week we come to you from the deck of the Caribbean Explorer to live aboard thanks to our friends at Explorer Ventures. It's another Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. Do not miss it. Till then, remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Good diving, everybody.
These little snails, you know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we in love here. Now we in fun here under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard,
blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.